welcome to the weekly radio teleconference for March 6th, 2012, Super Tuesday. And Idaho is a player this year in Super Tuesday. And the first thing I want to talk about is that it's a very, very important day for the Idaho Republican primary, as we will be a part of a number of states who will today help allocate the votes for our presidential candidates. And I simply want to encourage everybody who intends to be a part of this Republican primary to get out and get engaged in the caucuses tonight. If you have not yet registered as a Republican, you can do so at the caucuses. And I encourage people to get involved. This is the kind of opportunity that we have not seen in Idaho in the past because of the timing of our primary. And it's very important that as many Idahoans as possible get engaged and get involved in helping to make this decision. This weekend, the Senate, we are dealing with the highway bill. It's becoming quite contentious because, frankly, not the bill itself, but the process. There are many, many amendments filed to the bill. And at this point, the majority leader is restricting the amendments that can be brought up. And so we're having procedural battles over whether we can have an open amendment process or not. I hope that we'll be able to get those issues resolved and move forward with this bill, but that remains to be seen. And also, it's of note that this is the two-year anniversary of the adoption of Obamacare. And we expect that soon, hopefully, the Supreme Court will rule. There are going to be hearings this month in the Supreme Court on the challenge to Obamacare. But there is increasing opposition to the legislation in the United States. A recent USA Today survey revealed that by a 50 to 42% margin, the public believes that Obamacare is a bad bill, and that the process or the system put into place is a bad system. The same survey also showed that by a 3-to-1 majority, people believe that the health insurance mandate, which is what is being challenged in the Supreme Court, is in fact unconstitutional. Studies have demonstrated that the law will increase, not decrease, health care premiums and likely push tens of thousands of workers into government-run exchanges. And what we're seeing right now, frankly, is exactly what we said when we were debating against it 2 years ago. It's driving up the cost of health care. It's driving up the cost of health care insurance and, frankly, reducing the ability that we have to get higher quality medicine. So I think that it's a very critical point with this two-year anniversary for us to refocus on it and, frankly, to redouble our efforts to change this law, to repeal it if possible. With that, there are a number of other issues we could cover, but I'm going to stop and throw it open. And, Leslie, you're first on the list today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have been hearing a lot in national media of the president's advice to Israel as
yes.
to what they should and shouldn't do with Iran. Could you tell us what the feeling in Congress is as to whether this country should join militarily in support of Israel, and will Congress have any say in the matter?
As you might guess, there is a divergence of opinion here. There are folks all across the spectrum in terms of their positions. But I would say that increasingly we are seeing a bipartisan support for the notion that the United States must be prepared to support Israel. Israel is a very, very strong ally of the United States, and both Republicans and Democrats are historically very strong supporters of Israel. The question that is being posed is, I think, more an issue of timing rather than an issue of support. What I mean by that is there's a question as to whether Israel or the United States should make the ultimate decision as to whether, and if so, when, military action needs to be taken. But I don't believe there's a disagreement about the fact that the United States should be prepared to act militarily. I mean, there is disagreement, but I think that the majority in the Senate believe that that is a policy position that the United States must be prepared to take if necessary.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next is Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Haven't talked to you since then. I was going to get your response, or I guess not your response, but your take on discussing the collaboration when you met with the Forest Service Chief in Boise.
Yeah, we had a very, very good meeting with Chief Tidwell, the head of the Forest Service, as he came to Idaho to explain the new Forest Service rule that he is essentially adopting. And, you know, there are a lot of questions and concerns about whether the new Forest Service rule will actually increase litigation or decrease litigation, reduce the time and cost of permit processing, or increase it. Chief Tidwell was very strong in pointing out that his intention and his effort is to reduce litigation and increase the speed by which the Forest Service is able to process permits and deal with its management, while at the same time preserving the tremendous environmental heritage in our forests. And one of the key parts of his approach is to focus on collaboration, which I strongly support. I'm working to make sure that some parts of the rule are improved, but the effort to improve collaboration is, in my opinion, one of the strengths of the rule that Chief Tidwell is proposing. This is an opportunity for us to remove the decision-making from a distant national decision-maker, the Forest Service, and get a lot more of the decision-making process moved back to the local communities where the people have the understanding of the issues and, frankly, they have the wisdom about how to solve them and can achieve solutions that are, in fact, better for both the environment and for the resource-based economy that we need in our forests.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Now, have we been joined by Scott or Jay or George? All right. Well, Leslie and Jason, you guys got the show today.
Okay. Do you want any more questions?
You got another one?
You had that overreach meeting with the Sacketts and the governor and all involved. And
yes.
Everyone had their say. What now? Was that okay? Everybody said anything, so what? Where do you go from here?
Well, that was actually the second of those types of hearings that we have held, and we will continue to focus the issue on the overreach of our federal agencies, whether it be through this kind of hearing or other activities. But one of the things we are trying to do is to educate the public about the incredible burden on our economy and, frankly, the incredible intrusion into privacy and freedoms of individual citizens. And in addition to the educational part of it, there are a number of pieces of legislation that are already introduced that we will be attempting to move forward, whether it's general regulatory reform legislation or specific regulation like the provisions that Representative Simpson has been successful in getting put on some of our appropriations bills. But I think that one way or the other, we'll be pursuing legislation as well as continuing to pursue the education process to increase public support for our efforts to pare back on the excesses of these regulatory agencies.
Thank you.
All right, Jason, you got another one, or should we?
One more, why not?
Sure.
I was going to do something that also came across a little while ago about the move to restrict milk products in the schools. I know you've talked about potatoes before. Now it seems like it's turned to milk products as well.
Yes. As I think everybody in Idaho knows, we fought the issue over the USDA's efforts to restrict access to potatoes in our food programs. And now the next thing we see coming from them is an effort to restrict access to milk and dairy products that they deem unqualified for allowing our kids to have access to them. Our delegation and many others in Congress are united in encouraging strongly and objecting to encouraging the agency to change this rule and objecting to the issuance of the rule. The bottom line here is we really don't need a federal agency telling our school food administrators how they should meet nutritional needs in their school food programs. It's once again an example of overreach by a federal agency in its rulemaking process, and in this case, literally taking decision-making from the nutrition experts who work in the school lunch and school food programs, and removing it back to Washington and having a cookie-cutter solution back in Washington. And I'm going to be meeting with people from those Idahoans here in Washington, D.C., who administer those food programs today. And we'll be discussing the fact that they are much better and more qualified to make the decisions about the nutrition in the meals that they provide in their school programs, and the fact that the federal regulations, in addition to making bad policy decisions with regard to the nutritional products that are allowed to be provided to our kids, are also driving up the cost of providing these meals. And so whether it's a cost issue or a nutrition issue, we're going to continue fighting really hard against this overreaching regulation that will literally deny access to our kids to a basic nutritional food like milk.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, I thank you guys. I look forward to our visit next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.